content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural, raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan, plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos. We've got Alicia on the controls and Jill Lane in studio the whole hour. I'm so excited.
Yes, I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's
the whole hour.
I know.
I feel like I almost had to do a yeehaw just then.
But yeah,
I was waiting myself, for it. Honestly.
No, do it. Do a yeehaw. You know what?
Tina
feel
just
it.
Killed
Enjoy
me,
it.
So I kind of still have those endorphins and cortisol and all of that stuff flowing.
I worked out this morning, but not with Tina. I did do just a little mini workout, and I actually am feeling so much better from it. It is amazing. Amazing, you know, how exercise really can change your mental attitude so much. It empowers you.
It is
does.
One of the most powerful forms of medicine.
I mean,
we talk about it so much on this show, and it's underprescribed and underutilized across all areas and aspects of health. I wish that we could literally be writing prescriptions on prescription pads for exercise and have training covered by insurance companies for heart disease,
Speak
for cancer,
it,
for mental health, for addiction, for everything.
I mean, agree.
It would change globally the state of our health without a doubt.
Well, I get it. I mean, you know, and I'm not going to get into it today, but, you know, I was in the hospital twice over the last week. For high blood pressure, and it was because I wasn't doing what I say and what we talk about. I was so busy taking care of everybody else that I forgot to take care of myself. You know, life throws a lot of stuff at you, but you have to stay on task. Yeah. Don't let more than 3 or 4 days go by where you're forgetting. You know what? I've just remembered. I forgot to take my vitamins. They're in my purse. Oh, wait. I left my other purse downstairs. Damn it,
Jim. Jinx.
I'm going to have to go down and get them.
But you know what? You bring up such a good point, and this is something I like to teach my clients, and it's something I had to learn for myself, is what's my break even? Like, how many days? I have to make a mental note. Like, how many days can I be off my game before it gets so hard to get back on? And for me, it's like about 4 or 5 days off food or off exercise or whatever before it feels like I'm literally starting back over again.
Right.
And so if you know what that cutoff is, you have some grace and a little bit of slack for when life throws you a curveball, but then you have the discipline to know, okay, I'm on day 4.
Right.
If I don't crack down today and just get a little home workout in or go for a walk or do something, day five, six, seven is going to be so painful that you almost then 3 or 5 days turns into 3 or 5 weeks because it gets harder and harder and harder to get back on the pony.
You do. And you do have to take that day of rest. You absolutely do. And and life throws a lot of crap at everybody.
Yes, it does.
But you just really need to keep in mind that you have to take care of yourself first so you can take care of everything else.
Right.
You can't quote Jill. You don't restart. You just keep going.
You just keep going.
Right. There's no starting over. You just keep going.
You just keep going.
You don't. We all fall off. And I think that's, I think the weight loss industry hasn't done us any service when it comes to that. It's we're all just thinking that we have to start over. We're a failure if we don't, if we eat a piece of cake, we miss our workouts. But that is what we call life, people.
Yeah.
And so, again, just know yourself. Know whether it's 3 days, whether it's 5 days. Most of the time, it can't be longer than a week.
And I say know
what back on.
And know what your addictions are,
Absolutely.
And that includes work, that's kind of one of my addictions. It is. I love to work. I always have. It's just in my blood from the time I was a tiny girl. I worked at my dad's grocery store when I was like 8 years old, and I've never really stopped. I just love to work, and it makes me feel alive in the world. But you have to be still once in a while, like really, really still.
Still.
You got to be still.
Oh my gosh.
And you got to laugh, you got to laugh. And you can't take stuff too seriously, and you have a tendency to do that. When stuff starts piling on, you start to stress out, and instead of taking a mental break, and to get back to what we were talking about, go exercise, go for a walk, lift some weights, throw some basketball hoops, just get out there and get yourself active and get your mind off whatever is causing you the stress.
Because the crazy thing is, you mentioned that you love the creativity and the empowerment you get from, pouring into business and working on something.
I love to work.
And I'm sure you find this, but we forget about it. And a lot of people do that. I come up with the best ideas. I'm at my most creative.
Me too.
When I'm training and exercising. Yep. Because your mind.
Or, just chilling.
Yeah. Your mind kind of lets go of things, and then it makes space for new stuff to come in.
Amen, sister.
And so it's a process.
It is. It is
too much of any one thing is too much of any one thing.
Absolutely.
Work, exercise, too restrictive on your diet. I don't believe there's no such thing as balance, but there should be some ebb and flow.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I always love having you in studio today. We're going to be talking about top health and wellness trends of 2020. It's from a Thorne article, and I've got another Thorne article here that I just love. I love this. So, because it's so important, little things that you can do, little biohacks, if you will, to keep yourself in check. 6 kitchen spices that help support you during cold and flu season. Guess what number one is?
Ooh, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm going to say,
I know.
Ginger?
It.
Close.
No.
That's one of them. Garlic.
Oh, yeah.
Garlic is number one.
Sure.
Garlic is number one, and it seems that garlic does more than ward off vampires and mosquitoes. It can help defeat those unwanted microscopic bugs that make your life miserable, especially in wintertime, because you're not getting enough vitamin D from the sun, and you're inside. You're not getting that fresh air in the house. Those are all things to keep in mind. That's my part of my contribution to this article.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a natural antibiotic with antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal properties. Eating garlic helps prevent a cold or lessens the symptoms and shortens the illness, and it's Italian.
Of course it is. I got this concoction from Green Smoothie Girl, Robin Openshaw's Facebook page, maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 winters ago. And my sisters and I literally swear by it. So it's all of probably things on this list. So you put in a good blender, like a Vitamix or a Ninja or something, 4 cups of, warmish hot water. I peel 2 whole lemons. You put a few cloves of garlic.
Yep.
I like a lot of ginger, so I'll put about 2 inches of peeled ginger root. And then you put apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
I put a good
on there too.
You are
cup.
Stealing my whole thing.
And then a little local honey. You blend it up.
Yep.
And then you portion
Speaking
it out.
Speaking of honey.
You portion it out into some mason jars. And I love to drink it warm, like right after you first make it. I'm telling you, it is.
It works.
Amazing.
Oh, no,
amazing.
Absolutely.
Do you remember when Stephanie Toops had that jar, that mason jar of garlic cloves and honey?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember?
Oh,
we're
going
to have to put that out somewhere.
I'm going to make a witch's brew tonight.
So I have some in my freezer. So I made a batch last week.
Oh, you can freeze it?
I drank half of it. I put it in mason jars and I put half in the freezer. And so now I have a little bit, if I'm feeling like, something's a little off, I'll take it out, let it defrost. Sometimes I warm it back up. Sometimes I don't. And I'll drink like 8 ounces of it. It is an amazing immune support tonic.
I'm making some tonight. And I'm thinking about making some homemade pasta too. I haven't made homemade pasta in a very long time. But honey's on this.
Not on the immune support list.
It's not on the immune support list. But, okay, let me go to this. Hold on. Beep, beep, beep. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so.
Pull out the Italian Bible and correct me over there.
It's about feeding the soul, Jill.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, whether you choose tortellini, rigatoni, or farfalle. Making your own pasta can bring focus, warmth, and a renewed appreciation for the food you eat and the people you love.
I love it. Just have it as a side dish.
Yeah.
That's what the Mediterranean diet would advise.
So honey's on this list. Okay, so honey, and it says that raw honey has been used for thousands of years and reported to be the first sweetener. Honey's properties vary depending on the flowers and the of the pollen that it's taken from. And like garlic, honey has a potent antibiotic activity. And I might add Manuka honey if you have a cut.
Yes.
Or you've got, like me, cat scratch fever a couple of years ago. The Manuka honey, shut that stuff down.
Yeah, powerful, yeah.
I scared
powerful.
You, didn't you, Alicia? You thought I was going to say that. Didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's pricey if you go to buy it, but I'm telling you what, that stuff topically is amazing. Amazing.
It is.
Thorne used to make this topical cream that had Manuka honey.
I have it still.
In it for patients who were undergoing cancer treatment and had some effects from the radiation, and it was to soothe those burns and. Yep. It was powerful.
Oh,
powerful,
absolutely.
Powerful stuff.
Well, you know, I was just thinking of, so you make some homemade pasta, you put some garlic in it, and then you have lemon green beans on the side, because lemon's on this list, too. Mm-hmm. We're going to, you know what, we're going to continue with this when I get back, because this is good information, and I'm not going to waste it away. So we're going to go to break.
Let's not waste. That's
bad,
too.
Yeah, let's not waste. Wasting is bad. All right, everyone. We've got a fantastic show coming up with Jill Lane. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. You say. Should know this song, but I'm digging it. There you go. That's what I thought it was, but I wasn't sure. I haven't heard this song in a while.
I have to turn it up.
Yeah, love it. Oh man, and I don't get it. That's another thing. You know, sing it, sister.
Yeehaw.
Well, you know, we were talking about, you know, a lot of things before the break, stress management, all these things, how to ward off cold and flu and all this. But, you know, that is the one thing that I let get away from me in the last year. Year or two, really. I used to dance almost every single night. It was such a release for me. I mean, that, you know, the kids go in the back, I turn on the Sono system, and I cook while I dance, you know, or dance while I cook, I guess I should say, or vice versa.
So did you put it back on your agenda?
I am, but you know, a lot of stress will, you know, suck the life out of you, where you know, you got to kind of feel it too. You got to be relaxed to dance, you know, and you got to just really, you know, if I could tell everyone out there listening, the one thing I learned from that experience last week is to just really keep your stress level in check. Just keep it in check. Write it down. What are the things that are stressing you out, and change them, eliminate them, try to recircuit them, if you will. That's the, you know, it's the silent killer, stress. And it ages the hell out of you, too,
for real.
On every level. And so you really need to keep it in check. I don't care if you're in your 20s or your 30s, your 40s, whatever. It can kick you in the rear end and kick you really hard.
And it often does without any warning. So you think you're going to, oh, I'll know. And sometimes people, usually starts by you're not sleeping well.
Yep.
And people dismiss it. They start gaining a little weight. You're dismissing it.
You're living at my house.
Your blood pressure goes up. You just dismiss it. And then it takes you down. And, you know, a lot of people are like, I can't quit my job, you know, the stress. And so here's what you do. You have to have a counterweight, a counterbalance, meaning, okay, you might have some stressful stuff happening at work, maybe some people you're not getting along with. So you need to have a counterweight, a counterbalance. And again, I don't love the idea of balance because I think it's a facade. I think it's something we chase after that we can't ever attain, but we can be resilient. Yeah, I don't think there's such a thing as balance. You know, as a parent, you know, you get phone call right now, your daughter's sick at school, you had all this stuff, you have to drop everything.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's no such thing as balance, but you can have a counterbalance with dancing and working out, stuff that literally changes the hormone production of stress, because stress is a hormone response. And so if you know what your counterweights all are, the people you can call, the stuff you can do, like dancing or meditating or cooking, like you were mentioning earlier, working out, you know, eating a good meal, going to bed earlier, you know, going into a church service, whatever it is, you have to know the short list of your counterweights so that you can counteract the effect of chronic stress.
Well, and then sometimes you need a big ass wake up call. I'm just going to say it. You just do.
True.
And I'll tell you, like I was telling her during the break, Jill, that and Aviana, I slept like a baby last night, you know, because I've cut out alcohol for the most part. I did have a little tiny sip again last night with dinner, but like a fraction of what I was doing before, trying to, you know, you pound the alcohol to think you're going to get rid of the stress, you know, because you're so stressed out, which makes it even worse. And the same with caffeine, you know, I've limited myself to like a half a cup of coffee now. And that was just today I started in. And I'm going to keep that in check too. But stuff can go sideways on you so quick. So you really have to pay attention. You do. So, you know, one of the things I want to go back to is this article, because I think it's so important. There's so many people out there, like you said, the cold and flu went through your house, the barf bug went through your house. You didn't get it. And you were treating your children. And I feel that it is so possible to keep your immune system so strong by doing things that this Thorne article also referenced to. Six kitchen spices that help support you during cold and flu season. Before the break, we talked about garlic and the importance of garlic, and you brought up ginger. That's on the list too. And let me see here.
Lemon. You can just have a hot cup of water with lemon in it in the morning. Like you said, if you're trying to cut back on caffeine, or maybe
that's so what I've been doing.
I have a barter with myself because I drink tea. And in order for me to get my tea in the morning, I have to drink at least 20 ounces of water. And so it's how I prioritize what's important. Most of us wake up dehydrated because we're like open mouth breathing at night and, you know, off gassing all of this hydration when we do that. And we can't get the temperature right because it's crazy seasons everywhere. And then you drink your water in the morning and then you can have your caffeine. So you refill your hydration tank. Yeah. So that water could be warm with some lemon in it. It's good for your liver and your gallbladder. And you just, you know, start the day from there.
I got a short workout in, just a mini one, but I drank my amino acids, my Thorne.
Catalyte.
Yeah, the Catalyte. Isn't that the one that Tina uses too?
Yeah,
it's got the full spectrum.
Too.
Yeah, amino acids. And I put it and I drank a bottle of water of that. Then I drank a couple of cups of tea. And then I got my little small workout in. And it's amazing how quick it works. It just is amazing. But, you know, on this list for cold and flu, also, you said apple cider vinegar. You know, it says here that besides being an important ingredient in pickled peppers, apple cider vinegar provides some health benefits of its own. But wait, what is it? It's the fermented, unfiltered juice from crushed apples. Like the other spices and condiments we've talked about, apple cider vinegar also possesses antimicrobial properties, both antibacterial and antifungal. And then red peppers is on this list. Red peppers, hot peppers like cayenne or mild peppers like red bell pepper are some of the richest sources of vitamin C on the planet. And so all these things that we have, you know, typically at home. I'm actually having grilled onions and peppers tonight with some vegan sausage on French bread with vegan provolone cheese.
Wow.
That's what's going to be dinner tonight. And last night, you know, green beans and wild rice and things like that.
Ooh, I made a veggie meal too.
Oh, well, you know what? You're going to, Aviana.
It wasn't great, but I
she's
tried.
She's learning how to cook.
Awesome.
She grew up at my house almost, but she doesn't know how to cook. I don't know how that happened.
She just ate your good food.
Too much
meat. Why does she have to cook?
Just pasta, you know, it was great.
Yeah.
But I made lentils. They were kind of bland, but I'm working on it.
That's okay.
I know.
You put a little Himalayan pink salt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can get some Brussels sprouts, asparagus.
Yeah.
That was it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You know what? And it's not that complicated to cook good food. It isn't. But it's so important. It really is so important to get all those whole foods and vegetables. And like I said, you know, that's a famous Italian dish and it's so simple. All it is steamed green beans with fresh squeezed, fresh squeezed butter.
I'm all in for that.
Fresh squeezed lemon, or you can put not a lot of butter, just or a little olive oil on top. And you can even put pine nuts on top. Those are wonderful. And they're rich in all kinds of like great ingredients. I don't know off the top of my head why pine nuts are so nutritious, but they are.
The pine nut is an obscure nut.
It is obscure.
It has an amazing flavor, like in pesto like on top of something. It has more like I don't know. It has a different flavor than
it's
other
almost like
nuts.
A buttery
a distinct,
nut.
Yeah, like a very distinct flavor.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, I love
cook
cooking. Well, and that's part of, you know, what we talk about on the show all the time is how important, you know, your diet is with Jill Lane. She's a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach and founder of Fueling Champions, a three-step sports performance and athletic nutrition program built to maximize the potential of student athletes and the parents that support them. You can find her on Instagram at Team Fueling Champions or her website, fuelingchampions.org. Today, we're talking about top health wellness trends of 2020 from a Thorne article. So let's talk about this. So can you define the term fasting? Because I know that's one of these big trends of 2020.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, like anything else in health and wellness, things get lumped all together. There's different kinds of fasting. So that's, I think, the first definition. I think the most popular one we hear about now is called intermittent fasting. But even what people think of as intermittent fasting now is not intermittent fasting. So in the literature, for the people who actually research fasting, like I'm thinking of a guy named Walter Longo out of USC's Longevity Center. He's like one of the preeminent fasting researchers in the U.S. To him, and in his research, intermittent fasting is a prolonged reduction in caloric intake, like usually 500 or 600 calories or less for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days. That's a very limited amount of food over a long period of time. Well, when people these days say, oh, I'm intermittent fasting, that's not what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're doing what's really defined as time-restricted eating or feeding, which means after dinner, you close down the kitchen and you don't eat again until a later breakfast. Or some people do the opposite. They'll eat later and then they don't eat breakfast. Maybe their first meal is lunch. Mm-hmm. Basically, each day you're having a 12 to 16 hour fast, which we normally should be doing overnight. Right. We shouldn't be putting a bunch of food into our mouth during the nighttime when our body's supposed to be resting and repairing.
Right.
Unless you're an athlete and you're trying to add weight, and that's like a whole different discussion.
Well, or but a nighttime worker. All these nighttime workers, my goodness, there's so many of them now in our 24-hour society. If you think about all the people that work at night when they should be sleeping, where the whole
really
world's out of whack.
Really hard on your metabolism.
Really hard on your whole life.
That's a whole show to itself, like how you survive that basically with your health still intact. But I think that what we need to know about fasting, and the one I think that benefits most all people with a few exceptions, like not pregnant women or, you know, maybe there's some other people who shouldn't be doing it, is the time restricted eating. So stop eating after dinner is my preference. So 7 o'clock, close the kitchen, and then eat breakfast at, you know, 7 to 9 o'clock, which is like a 12 to 14 hour fast. Mm-hmm. In women, I think that's the best way to fast because our hormones still get what they need, but we don't throw our cortisol and our insulin off, and it helps us with making sure our ovaries and our sex hormones are still all intact and getting what they need. Men, I think, do better with the later into the day fast, and I think the research shows that too. So I think all people should do this for the most part. You know, 7, 8 o'clock, close the kitchen. And then eat, you know, go at least 12 hours.
Yeah.
Sometimes up to 14 if you're not having any major hormone issues. And then you just eat your 3-ish meals during that, you know, 7 or 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. window.
What time do you usually typically eat dinner? You've got three children. I've got two. Early. Only one at home, a teenager, which is a lot of stress.
5:36, 6 o'clock.
5:30, 6 o'clock.
My kids are younger, so they're ready to eat early. Yeah. So it's 6:30 at the latest. Mm-hmm. And for me, I have a window. It's closed at 7. Mm-hmm. Sunday through Thursday, I close for me. I'm done at 7. The weekends, I give myself a little fudge room because we might go out to do something a little later.
Yeah.
And they say you should break it up just a little bit. And then I eat breakfast 9-ish, so a 14-hour fast. Seems I feel well. My cycle is still normal. Again, you have to pay attention to all this. If you're going to fast because you think fasting is healthy and then you start having irregular periods and all this stuff, then it's not working for you.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, so we have to be a little more thoughtful about it.
No, we do.
It's not going to work for everybody in every certain kind of way.
Well, and what works for a man doesn't work for a woman. And I was doing that long fasting too. And it didn't work for me. It just simply didn't work for me. I found myself like starving in the morning and just really wanting something to eat around 9 or 10 o'clock, like you said.
You need to pay attention to
you
that.
You do, because it does screw up your hormones. Yep. It does, which can screw up your life.
Yeah. There's an amazing woman. She'd be a great, I don't know if she's been on your show. I don't think I've heard her. Alyssa Vitti, she has a book out called My Flow. She has a really good period tracking app that I recommend to a lot of women. That's called My Flow. And her book, I think, is called Flow. But anyway, she really talks about the importance of women and the time that we fast, especially if you're premenopausal. So if you're still having a period or you're not fully menopausal, you need to be really mindful of your fasting window and not fasting too long, because it can throw off all of the sex hormones, which impacts our brain, our bones, our metabolism. And who wants that? Just for the sake of saying, oh, I'm fasting. Like, come on, let's be smart about it.
Anything else you want us to know about fasting before we go to break?
I think the biggest thing is it just gives the body some time to repair and replenish. You've talked a ton about autophagy, meaning it's just kind of when our body gets a chance to take out the trash or self, you know, like eat up all the damaged tissue and cellular junk that happens from a day of training and stress and all of that. It's like trash is left over in your body at the end of the day. And when we fast, it gives our body time to take out that trash and start to repair and replenish. And honestly, it's discipline. And we need some freaking discipline around here. Yep. I'm sorry, but we need to just stop. We need to be more mindful and we need to get a little more disciplined without beating ourselves up. Yep. So for me, it's a straight act of discipline.
It's
a discipline for me, and that's why I do it.
Yeah, no, you triggered something in me last night. I wanted to go for a little more wine, you guys. And so I'm like, no. No, Bernadette, I put I'm serious. He's looking at me, but I was like disciplined about it. Like, no, no, no. And no, put the darn glass in the sink. You're done. That's it.
Yep.
Go to bed. You're just got to be more disciplined. You can't, you know, you can't drink your stress away. So
listen, and if you're having trouble with something being in the house, this goes
just
for
don't
everybody.
Have it in the house.
It needs to go away.
It needs to go away. Absolutely. I agree. More coming up with Jill Lane. We've got lots of good stuff. We're going to be talking about aging healthfully, self-help tools and guidance, all kinds of things, health effects of technology, weight maintenance, and sustainability. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. And where's that shiny car? Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos, and I have Jill Lane in studio with me. She is a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach, and founder of Fueling Champions, which is a three-step sports performance and athletic nutrition program built to maximize the potential of student athletes and the parents that support them. You can find her on Instagram at Team Fueling Champions or her website, fuelingchampions.org. Today, we're talking about top 10 health and wellness trends of 2020. Right before the break, we were talking about fasting. A couple more things that we wanted to get out about fasting before we go on to these great little things we're going to talk about, like nootropics and aging healthfully. And so, Jill, how can fasting affect our circadian rhythm? I know that you wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Well, first, people need to know or be reminded of what the circadian rhythm is. So it's just our natural rhythm that our body follows, just often just based on the sun,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
yeah.
The sun, really, our body is for, you know, since the dawn of man, really been in sync from a circadian standpoint hormonally with the rise and fall of the sun. And you can even argue with the moon and other things like that. So it's just the normal pattern. Like some things in our body are on a time clock is what I'm trying to spit out.
Yeah.
Meaning things happen in the morning. So even our fat cells do different things in the morning versus at night. And so we have a rhythm to our body. Things happen at certain times of the day, and it's called a circadian rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's your circadian rhythm shifts, especially in women. We were talking about women in the last segment. Our circadian rhythm changes whether we're menstruating or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why women have different potential nuances when it comes to fasting, because we don't want fasting to negatively impact sex hormones that then changes our monthly cycle.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
What happened? I'm intrigued by that because, you know, it's nature, evolution, however you want to look at it. But it's very interesting, the science. So a woman's cycle is affected by the circadian rhythm. What does it make them want to stay up later to procreate? You know what I'm saying? Like, what does it do? Or does it? I'm fascinated by that.
It's meaning that a woman's circadian rhythm is different premenopausal versus postmenopausal in the sense that we aren't producing the certain amounts of hormones at the level which we were. So estrogen and progesterone decline after menopause and are produced by other organs in the body than our ovaries, mm-hmm. which some people are like, oh, I don't make any more hormones after menopause. No, you do.
You do.
Other places in your body still make them. It's just not enough. You know, it's not your ovaries aren't making them too. And so the levels go down. And so
and men go through this too.
Absolutely. And
menopause.
Menopause. It's a real thing. Testosterone levels drop.
It's a real thing.
Testosterone levels drop. Cortisol and insulin levels usually go up. That's why men tend to start gaining weight around mm-hmm. the midsection. Sometimes if their sex hormones are really wonky, men get weight gain around the hips. And you see these body types in men now where it's normally like a weight pattern that's in women, really hippie women. But men, you see like small-waisted hippie men now. And that's a sign that something hormonal is happening from mm-hmm. a sex hormone standpoint. Mm-hmm. Progesterone and estrogen are real wonky when you see that happening. And there's usually, if you look back in the female health of that guy's family, you'll see a same body type in the females in his family. So when it comes to fasting and the circadian rhythm and the women's hormones, cortisol is elevated in the morning. It should be for most of us. But if you're fasting through that time and the body wants to make more sex hormones and your cortisol is elevated because the fasting is presented as a stress to your body, it can throw off estrogen and progesterone levels, which is not good for a lot of organs in the body, your brain, your bones, your ovaries, on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And so that's why fasting in women needs to be approached with a little bit more of a delicate hand. Mm-hmm. And women need to, if you're going to start to fast, you need to really, over a 90-day period, keep track of if your cycles are going to are changing or not.
Okay. And what about athletes? Should athletes fast?
It's a good question. I think it can be sometimes beneficial depending on where they are in their season. It might be beneficial to help with recovery, just to help from an inflammatory and repair standpoint. But if I'm trying to get a lot of calories in an athlete because they're having trouble with weight maintenance and recovery and protein intake, I might need them to eat during the quote unquote fasting, you know, time. So it depends. The answer is it depends. There's no one size fits all. It depends on the season, what's happening with that athlete, or what are we trying to recover from, if anything.
Okay.
So that's a big it depends.
All right. So I want to get to these list of health and wellness trends for 2020, which are here to stay. So nootropics is on this list to maintain mental sharpness. What do you nootropics have been around for a while. I remember I used to sell Onnit brand. I'm trying to think of it right now. There's a couple ones. It'll come to me in a minute. But, you know, is it Dave Asprey? No, not Dave Asprey.
Yeah, he's the bulletproof guy.
That's the bulletproof guy. I'm trying to think. It's anyway. But they were the first ones, I really think, to put nootropics on the market. So for people that don't know what nootropics are, can you explain it and tell us what's up with it for 2020?
Basically anything that just helps your mental game get elevated. So something that just helps with your mental sharpness is how my colleague Kathy had puts it in this article from Thorne. But so anything that helps you with focus, attention, alertness of the brain, staying on task is kind of categorized as a nootropic. For me, I'd also put in there anything that just helps my brain age gracefully because none of us want to age quicker.
Right.
And our brain really does start to shrivel up and shrink. Female hormones, we just got done talking about, really impact that. And so do the things that we eat and things that we don't eat, like if we're not getting enough fish oil, not getting enough fish in our diet, not getting enough leafy greens, enough B12, all of that bodes poorly for the brain. So there's so many different nootropics up there, just out there. It just depends on
Alpha Brain. I just thought of it.
Oh, yeah.
Aubrey Marcus. That's what it is. Alpha Brain. And then there's one for depression, too. I can't think of the name, but we used to sell them at Adrift. But I felt like they really do work.
I take them every day.
Do you?
I take a few blends. I take rhodiola. I take something from Thorne called Neurochondria. I take a thyroid blend that has some nootropics in it. I mean, I think, you know, I don't want my brain going anywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, and go to the Thorne Dispensary and get everything for 20% off the normal price, just so you know that. Okay. Oh, we're going to break. All right. Well, okay. When we come back, we've got lots to pack in here. So stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Now, maybe. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos and Jill Lane. I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. And you can listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Or you can go straight to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, Enviromedica, Wild Foods, Paleo FX, Karma Baker, No Evil Foods, Crazy Water, Veg World Magazine, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And as I said, Thorne Research. You can go to our dispensary on our website at oneliferadio.com. And Jill, it's always a pleasure. She's been on the show almost since the very, very beginning. I'm talking like the first weeks of One Life Radio. And so it's always
wild ride. Thank you for having me for so long.
It has been a wild ride. Wow, it has. And this woman's brain is just a wealth of information. I always love having her on the show. She's one of our, I would say we get the most response like in emails and stuff from how much they enjoyed the content when you're on the show.
I appreciate it. I'm having a hard time articulating it today. So,
well, you know what? Hey, you know what? Well, that's and I have days like that too. And you know, you just keep on moving forward, like you said, right? But you know, the top trends or top health and wellness trends of 2020. You know, the biggest buzz product of the year, I would have to say, for the last couple of years, has been hemp. What
for
do you
real?
Say about hemp?
Well, I mean, I think it's here to stay. I think if people have any concern or issues, they need to get over themselves. People need to get educated about the difference between hemp and marijuana real quick. I think we shouldn't be buying it from the corner stores that are pop-ups everywhere, because as much as they tell you their stuff is clean, chances are they probably really don't know everything that's going into it. And I think the next generation of all things related to hemp is going to be really what they call the entourage effect. So it's not just using the CBD from the hemp, but it's getting other phytocannabinoids from other plants like rosemary and black pepper, and getting the benefits of a combined effect for our endocannabinoid system. We have the system in our body. You talk about it so much on the show. It's been there for a reason, and it's just now getting the attention it deserves. I mean, I pulled up the slide from some of my colleagues at Thorne, and it talks about all the places we have endocannabinoid receptors: spine, pituitary, thyroid, adrenals, fat cells, lungs, kidney, testes, ovaries, placenta, muscles, spleen, thymus, tonsils, brain, GI tract, liver, skin, bones. I mean, if that doesn't like raise a red flag, like, holy cow, this is like just like having a circulatory system or a muscular system, our bone structure. And that this is, we're just now discovering these phytocannabinoids in lots of different plants, but specifically in hemp, because it seems to be most rich, you know, this one, the CBD from there, that people need to get in the know. But I just think we need to get a little more mindful of where we're buying it from.
I
don't think everywhere that's selling it is the best place to buy it. And so as the U.S. government continues to get a hold on, okay, we're going to let people buy it, we're going to loosen the reins on hemp as something we can do in the U.S. That's why all these pop-up shops have started up. But you have to be a little mindful about where it's coming from.
I would agree. And I know firsthand from just people I know in the industry where, you know, some brands, some of the typical brands that were tested, and what was not, what was said was in the bottle was not. And so you have to be super careful. You do. Okay. Aging healthfully. I want to talk about this. How can I age healthfully? Because I really struggle with it. I think most people do. This is such an anti-aging society that we've become, you know, anti-aging everything that immediately gets someone's attention.
Right. Which is just like a false promise, because there's really no such thing as anti-aging. We are all aging. But I think what we want to do is age gracefully.
Right.
We want to stay on task, like with the nootropics and all of those things, as long as we can into our later years. You know, for me, my biggest thing is I want my brain to be sharp as a tack, and then I just want the light to go out. Hopefully sometime in my, you know, 8th or 9th or 10th decade, you know, I don't want to lose my faculties. And, you know, dementia and neurological health is taking a lot of people out these days. And it's a really stressful thing for caregivers. And so aging gracefully really should be the term, because we're not, you know, we're all aging. And so it just goes back to the basics: exercise, stress modification, sleep, lots of plants, knowing your genetics and knowing where you might have some nutrient deficiencies and plugging those gaps first.
And connections. You know, it makes me think of the Blue Zone. The Blue Zones, the sanitarians that live all over the world in little pockets here and there. You know, one of them in Southern California. Hello to you in KMET in California. And so, these are things that we need to consider. It's about everything. Like I said, you know, feed the soul. Yeah, pasta's not good for you, but sitting around making it with your kids and sharing it with your family and, you know, hugging your mother and father or a good friend or whatever, that all matters. That's what makes you age gracefully and healthfully.
If you follow the
Is
Blue
healthfully
Zones,
a word?
It is right there, for sure. If you follow the Blue Zones on Instagram, 8 out of 10 of their posts is about connection and family and you know, having a group of people that you do life with. And so they really hammer that home. And I think it's something that we should really get back to.
I agree. And I, you know, with all the divorce out there and all the disruption that divorce causes, and that, you know, if you're going to get a divorce, try to make it an amicable one, and try not to drag the kids through the middle of it. Try not to make it about the money. Focus on the children. That would be my best advice, you know.
Just have a solid group around you. I mean, there's lots of different sorts of connection and family, quote unquote, feeling you can create these days with friends and neighbors and church groups and, you know, people that become like your family.
Yep.
All of those connections matter just they as do. Much as people that are your blood relatives.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's better for you and that they're not your blood relatives.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, because, what's that old expression? Familiarity breeds contempt. Or it can, but all things to consider. Okay, so on this is the health effects of technology.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting time for technology because there's so many cool things with AI and healthcare happening right now. And I think it should make medicine better. It should make medicine smarter. It should help us understand patterns instead of using our own prejudices, which happens in medicine. Mm-hmm. We have a preconceived notion that this is how this study should go, but AI takes out that human error. And so I think there's really cool stuff happening with AI in medicine. But on the flip side of that, back to connection, we just need to freaking put our electronics down. And it's something I'm trying to really work on in my house, that at a certain time, the electronics are off. And we're either doing something together, or you're reading, or you're studying, or you're doing your Legos, or, you know, something with your, you know, building something, just so that we can, again, connection, brain, your brain's connecting to an activity, you're connecting with each other, you're outside playing, connecting with the earth. And so I think, again, like that word balance, which I don't like, but we need to figure out a way to just... I could go on and on about it. I think it breeds fear. I think it breeds
Absolutely.
Mental issues. Mm-hmm. I think we have a serious epidemic with what's happening with all of the stuff with the screen. Mm-hmm. And so I think somehow we have to have some counterweight to that, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about it yesterday with Dr. Deborah Green about the 5G network, and they're putting that everywhere. Mm-hmm. They're burying cables. They're putting it, disguising it as trees. And it's like everywhere. And it's just, it kills bees. It kills,
we don't know. It's going to be a big human experiment. It is. A big ecological experiment to see what happens.
And it's all motivated by greed. I mean, because think about it. Let's all go faster, bigger, better, faster, you know, and all the big tech companies that are selling it. I'm trying to think of some of them, so the biggest companies out there that are pushing telecommunications.
Like Verizon.
Yes.
I mean, you see commercials all the time.
I just
about
saw T-Mobile and Sprint.
T-Mobile,
paired
Verizon.
Up.
Yeah. It's we need to examine things before we move so quickly. Anytime you move too quickly, you're going to make a mistake. Mm-hmm. You are. Mm-hmm. And we should focus on the science. There's 300 scientists all over the world right now that have come together to try to stop this, or at least slow it down, no pun intended. but it's interesting. Okay, so on this list, sustainability. Let's talk about sustainability on these top health and wellness trends of 2020.
Wow, I mean, that's another huge concept, but there's sustainability of our food, there's sustainability of our culture and our heritage, there's sustainability of your health. I mean, there's so many ways that we can slice and dice that. But I think the biggest thing, and at least I know in 20 years of being in this industry, that I'm trying to promote and the people I speak to and teach, is just to not be overwhelmed by all of this fear about all of this, just to do as much as you can in your house. Like I was talking to a beautiful woman last week, breast cancer survivor, who had become, and you know, migraine sufferer, really trying to walk through her health. And she'd become so afraid of, should I not use plastic baggies? Like, what if they don't sell organic blueberries? Like afraid of everything.
Mm-hmm.
That
happens.
Is more damaging to your health than buying the freaking regular blueberries and putting something in a plastic bag.
Yep.
And so we have to just do what's sustainable to us every day, but with discipline and trying to reach to see, okay, can I think I can. I think I can start using parchment paper instead of plastic wrap. Like, I think I can use Pyrex dishes instead of Tupperware. You know, like, just little things, little improvements. I think that's the most sustainable thing when it comes to long-term health.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I really couldn't.
Just don't do stuff out of fear. That is the most damaging to your brain, to your chronic health, to your mental health, to the people around you. Do it out of a want to, a curiosity, and a little experiment to see how you feel.
Well, fear is what sent me to the hospital. You know,
fear is powerful.
Fear is powerful, and it can really snowball on you. It really can. And so peace and love and balance is what we all need.
Where's
right?
Where's our bell?
I was just going to say that.
I need to bring my bell back in with me. Oh, I was putting incense. I've been doing all this crazy stuff. Oh, my God. If you were in my house, I could have a show. just on.
You do have a show.
I mean, you know, like a show, like one of those reality wackadoodle shows. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but we won't be bleaching any you-know-what. Okay. Everyone, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and choose courage over fear.